Welcome to Nighttime. I'm Dave Wager, your host, for the next half hour. Hopefully you can talk about some serious things that allow your mind to sink into the deepness of God's Word. God really knows what He's talking about, and we should really be listening to Him and position ourselves to not only know what He says, but to listen to what He says. Knowing what God says sometimes takes the place of doing what God says. We think if we know much, that's all that's required of us. But to those of us that know what's right and don't do it, that's sin. When we know something, we have an obligation to do something with it. My name's Dave Wager. I'm coming to you from the studios here at Silver Birch Ranch on the campus of the Nicolay Bible Institute. And I encourage you to go check those ministries out and allow us to serve you here on these grounds if you have an opportunity, or your children or grandchildren in the Nicolay Bible Institute. Tonight I was thinking about how often we use the verse, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." That's Proverbs 15:22. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, that's true, but normally that gets quoted when somebody makes a decision and you weren't part of it, and you're trying to show them that they're wrong for not seeking your counsel. But what if they shouldn't have sought your counsel? What if they should have made a decision without you because your counsel in this area, whatever it might be, would not be necessary? Makes it sound like we're humbling ourselves, and we are. There are many things in life that you could ask me for advice on, and there's many of those things that I would tell you I don't know. You should go figure it out yourself because I'm not experienced in those things. If you wanted a lesson on auto mechanics, I have some people I know that are good auto mechanics, but I'm not one of them. I could give you an opinion, but once again, my opinion is worthless when it comes to that. You could ask me how to spell a word, and my opinion on spelling should probably be worthless to you. You could consult me as far as directions somewhere, and once again, I might say that my consult on that particular issue is probably something you should ignore. Well, I'm not demeaning myself. I'm just telling you that those are not things that I could counsel you on very wisely. Now, I would say the same thing applies to just about every area in life. There are people that you should go to and talk to, and there are others that you should not talk to about certain things. One of the questions I have all the time is, what will this person do with the information I give them if I ask them for counsel? I might be asking them for counsel concerning something here at Silver Birch Ranch or the Nicolay Bible Institute. I've done that before where I've asked somebody what they think, and a week or 2 weeks or a month later, I hear somebody saying, "So you're thinking of doing this and that." And I'm thinking, no, I wasn't. I was just asking for advice from somebody. You see, it matters who you get your counsel from. Those people you get counsel from should not be those who are known to be gossips or slanderers or those who just want to have information or they feel left out. Those are unhealthy people. If you just need information so you don't feel left out and you're not doing anything with that information, then you're not healthy. The least that we can do when we know somebody's coming to us for advice or counsel is to pray for them and to ask God to reveal His will. There are others who you should seek for counsel, and perhaps many. If you're trying to make a business decision, I would first and foremost look for somebody who understands faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the Bible tells us very clearly that without God's blessing, there is no blessing. Then I would find someone who demonstrated faith and is in business, so that you have both of those factors. If you're looking for someone to just show you how to work a spreadsheet, I'm not even sure that needs to be a believer. If you're looking for someone to show you how to put spark plugs in a car, I'm not sure that's just a believer. And I'm not sure you need the counsel of many on putting spark plugs in. Perhaps now in this day and age, we just YouTube it. But Proverbs 15:22 has been thrown around by people many times. Without counsel, plan fail. I would start with God. Without the counsel of God, certainly your plans will fail. I'm not saying that God wouldn't have you talk to somebody else that loves him and walks with him as well. But once again, the criterion should be that you seek advice in life from people who know God, walk with God, and are healthy. Without their counsel, your plans could fail. Without their counsel, you may not succeed, but they need to point you to God. Now, there are instances all the way through the Bible where people were making decisions based on just their conversation with God. So our counsel always starts with him. We all know the value of counsel. However, we've been stepping off a dangerous cliff and surrounding ourselves with counselors that agree with us rather than counselors who will challenge us and counselors who actually know what they're talking about. You need to be careful because some people carry themselves in a way where they sound like they know what they're talking about. Oh, I can be accused of that in my life. Because if I think something, I will let you know what I think, and I can do it with great emphasis. My tone of voice or great emphasis does not make it true or false. You need to look at the fruit in somebody's life and say, I want to learn from this person for this reason. As I think about the counsel of many, I would make an acronym, APPS, APPS. The A stands for affirmation, the P for popularity, the next P for power, and the S for solidarity. Let me go through these with you. The challenge of counsel with the A, the affirmation. We need to realize that we want to hear people affirming us. So in many cases, when we seek the counsel of many, we seek the counsel of many who already agree with us. It would be like somebody who's a staunch Republican talking to Donald Trump, or somebody who's a staunch Democrat talking to President Biden. You see, either way, they're going to hear what they want to hear because they already know what these people believe in. I'm not sure there's a lot of challenging counsel that comes from people who think like we think. Now, it could be that you're just getting together with others and they think like you think, and really, it is right. It's not that you should look for people who disagree with you, but you need to look for people who are independent enough from you to give you counsel in an honest way because they love you. You also need to realize that if it's a method, not a principle, that you just need to take it with a grain of salt. Methods are different than principles. If you're seeking a method, you can seek that from anybody because methods normally are not sacred or evil or good or bad or anything else. They're just methods. Principles, however, are what should guide the methods. I was reading something by William B. Swan, Jr. In a Psychology Today magazine. Once again, I'm not against all psychologists. In fact, I think that psychology often will tell us the problems that exist. I'm just not always sure they know the answers apart from Scripture. Recognizing a problem is not all that difficult to do. Recognizing what is a practical solution might be. Here's what this author had to say. All people want to think well of themselves. This is at least what my psychologists would have us believe. So too would hundreds of practitioners of the self-hype movement. Indeed, in the U.S., a multi-billion dollar personal improvement industry is built on the premise that people have insatiable hunger for positive self-viewers. To feed this hunger, all they need to do is repeat a few positive affirmations, such as, I am lovable and capable. With enough repetitions, the argument goes, people who suffer from low self-esteem will transfer themselves into highly self-confident individuals who discover that the world is their oyster. This author goes on to say, yet this fairy tale account of human nature now looks about as credible as, well, a fairy tale. For example, recent research suggests that a positive affirmations that are the stock and trade for the self-help industry are ineffective for people who need them the most. In fact, when people with low self-esteem recite positive affirmations, they actually feel worse. Similarly, when others happen to evaluate people with negative self-views in a positive way, their initial feelings of exaltation quickly vanish as they recognize that the praise rings hollow and inaccurate, and they take steps to avoid it. Moreover, when given a choice between interacting with evaluators who recognize their negative qualities versus those who entertain overly positive appraisals of them, people choose the partner who perceives them in a subjectively accurate manner. And if people wind up with spouses who persistently entertain positive evaluations of qualities that they believe are negative, they withdraw, either emotionally or through divorce. More generally, when researchers have compared the strength of desire for positive evaluations to the strength of desire for subjectively accurate evaluations, they encounter little support that people abandon concerns about accuracy in favor of positivity. You know, I think deep down in our hearts, we understand what the truth is. If you want to find somebody to tell you something you want to hear, you know who they are. You can go to them, but their advice to you, their praise of you, their whatever is not credible. You know, as I got older and my mom was old, I could do no wrong in her eyes. I knew I could do wrong. But if I wanted to go hear something nice about myself, I could go to my mom and hear it anytime I wanted to. I could do just about anything wrong, and she would probably tell me that I had a good reason for it and I was still such a good boy. You know, after a while, you realize that that rings hollow. If you have to hear those kinds of things to feel good about yourself, then you don't know who you really are. In reality, each of us are sinful. Each of us are depraved. And the reason that I'm important isn't because you tell me I'm important or because I'm breathing air or because I'm standing on this planet. The reason why I'm important is because God, the creator and sustainer of all life, created me. While I was in my mother's womb, he crafted me. He loves me. And because of my sin that separated me from him, he sent his son to die on the cross for me. He came back to life 3 days after his crucifixion and now sits at the right hand of the Father as my mediator. And God has promised as his child that one day Jesus and myself will be co-heirs. Now that can help me because that's truth. We tend to forget those things as we surround ourselves with people who say what we want them to say. The affirmation. You know, if God says, well done, my good and faithful servant, that's an affirmation that will mean something. If my mom said it at a certain stage in life, it may not mean a whole lot. My dad said it, it means even more than my mom because my dad was not exactly like my mom. We need to find people who we can trust, who can tell us the truth. We need to understand that when somebody points out something that's not right in our life, that's all right. We can point out a lot more that's not right. And God knows everything that's not right, and he still loves us. It doesn't take us. It doesn't destroy what we think about ourselves. We already know that we're sinful. This article goes on to say, the desire for self-verification presumably grows out of the fact that our self-views are critical to our efforts to make sense of the world and guide behavior. Self-views stabilize behavior by encouraging people to consistently see the world and behave in a particular way. Such stability makes them predictable to others and in turn facilitates smooth social interaction. Eventually, people become so accustomed to having others see them as they see themselves that these self-verifying reactions become reassuring and comforting even if the self-view in question happens to be negative. By the same token, experiences that disconform people's self-views are troubling and anxiety-provoking because they suggest that something is amiss with their knowledge of themselves, the world, or both. You realize you have to be very careful who you listen to. All of us want affirmation, but false affirmation does not help us understand what truth is. The one that we want affirmation from is God, and He will not lie. Therefore, we live our lives totally before Him, totally transparent. When we sin, He tells us we come to Him, as 1 John 1:9 says, and we confess our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And He will affirm us for coming to Him and doing that. Telling the truth is important in any affirmation. Telling the truth is important if you're going to somebody for counsel. If somebody can get something from your decision and you're going to them for counsel, you need to be very careful. You want to go to those who are going to give you real counsel. Let me ask you, what do you already believe about yourself and why? And do you believe the truth? Or are you just listening to your own mind? You haven't really listened to somebody outside your mind. You haven't listened to the counsel of the godly. You haven't listened to what God says in His Word. If you listen to the godly, you listen to the counsel of God's Word, then you understand how valuable you are. You don't focus in on what gifts you have or what gifts you don't and what others have and you don't. Our constant inability to reconcile the truth with what we believe has grave consequences in our daily lives. Job 13:23 says, "How many are my iniquities and my sins? Make me know my transgressions and my sin." Job wasn't afraid of hearing the truth, but he had three friends coming to him, telling him something that wasn't true. He had the counsel of many. In fact, these were great friends that he had counsel of, and I've done whole programs on this, so I don't want to belabor this. But he understood the truth. He understood that one day he'd stand before God, and that He is the ultimate counsel. He is the ultimate one to listen to. My friend, you and I need to be people who listen to God on a regular basis, and when somebody asks us for counsel, we need to be praying it through and giving them counsel that we think God would give them. We need to use the scriptures. We need to understand that we're humans and fallible in every single way, but God isn't. We need to point them to God. If you're gathering counsel from individuals on something and they're not pointing you to God, I would be very careful. Psalm 32, 3-8 says, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up by the heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me in trouble from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." We need to be those who accept counsel from those who love God and from His Word, and we need to be seeking those things. What we need less counsel of is the godless. We need to have the hours of influence in our mind less influenced by the godless world in which we are immersed in. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says to examine ourselves. It says examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? As a child of God, the Holy Spirit dwells within me. I have all the counsel I need to make the right decisions. sometimes my life and my view gets in the way. And you've heard me tell the story about having to look at an elephant with your face smashed up against it and trying to describe what you're seeing is nothing but a mess. But if you back off from the elephant, you can see it a little clearer and perhaps give a little better description of that elephant. We go to others who love God and love us so that we can get away from our life elephant a little bit and see it in perspective. But the ultimate counsel needs to always go back to God. The ultimate counsel needs to come from God's Word. We need to understand the many counselors that are trying to get into our head through advertising, marketing, social media, or whatever else it might be, and be very careful not to let them in. I know what God says about who I am. I know how valuable I am to God. I know that He crafted me in my mother's womb and has a plan for my life. I need to go to Him and listen. The next letter in the acronym is P. The first one, A, affirmation, is something that gives us trouble. The next one is popularity. So often, we want to make decisions based on popular vote. We actually think that if you get a group of believers together, that they can be unanimous in what they believe, and that would be God's will. It may not be. It may be that you have a group of believers that think unanimously in the wrong direction. Obedience is far more important than consensus. If you're constantly trying to build a consensus, then Satan can take and waste a lot of your time having you go here and there trying to build a consensus rather than making decisions that God's already laid on your heart to make. Our system, especially in the United States of America, is faulty. There are so many times that we have to build consensus in order to figure out where we're going. Maybe we have forgotten that God still speaks through His Word, through people who walk with Him and love Him, and through His Holy Spirit into our hearts. Once we're convinced that God has said something, and how we get there can go through His Word, and it can go through other people who love God and walk with Him and don't have an agenda in our life. But it's not about us finding consensus in this world. It's not about us finding consensus in our committee. It's about us finding and being in consensus with God. And that is something we call obedience. Often consensus is not about consensus. It's really about finding people who think like we think, to affirm what we think so that we have no challenges. We keep looking at this life as a win-lose game rather than we need to find the truth game. In 1 John 2:15 to 17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. We may not be able to find a popular voice in the world in which we live. And if we do, it could be tainted. Within the counsel of many, there is wisdom. If the many walk with God, if the many want to hear God, Job certainly didn't have that privilege. He had to listen to God. He had to depend on what he already knew. John 12:42-43. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not want to confess it. So they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. We can easily put ourselves in a position to make the least amount of waves by using the verse, in the counsel of many there's wisdom. Therefore, we try and get into the counsel of many. Well, I'm not trying to change God's word. In the counsel of many there is wisdom. But I am trying to put a contextual bag around it. It's not in the context of many, anybody. It's in the context of those who know God and walk with God and are used of God. Those are the people we should be listening to. There are people we should be ignoring. And if you're trying to make a decision in life and you make it out of fear rather than purpose, perhaps you have to rethink that. Galatians 1:10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Indeed, popularity can throw us right off course. We can get affirmation from the wrong people in the wrong way. We can seek popularity and just get a lot of voices that say the same thing. And then we become victims if it doesn't work, because after all, we all agreed this was the way to do it, and it wasn't. I think of those in the scripture who didn't listen to the counsel of many. Noah, most likely. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, most likely. I think of those three. I can think the people who were God-fearers among the crowd saw those guys stand and thought, what a waste. We finally get some God-fearing people close to the king, and they refuse to bow. They could bow and really make life easier for the rest of us that are God-fearers. I'm not sure that happened, but I'm almost sure it would have. And as I think about that, I think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego probably got counsel from Daniel. Daniel was a good guy to get counsel from. And not only did he get counsel from Daniel, they listened to God because they knew what the word of God said. They knew that it was wrong to bow before any other god than God. The next P in the word apps is power. The challenge of counsel today is that we try and find the truth, not that we try and have authority over anybody. We're not trying to elicit power to get something done. We're trying to be obedient to God, and He is the power that gets things done. Deuteronomy 8:11-20 says, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you." Power. Some people go after advice and put themselves in a position where there's some power and authority in their call from that. And the last letter, solidarity. Sometimes we want to find people to just agree with us so it just looks like we have power and authority. We look for the solidarity that comes from the counsel of many as an affirmation of rightness or wrongness. Rightness and wrongness can only be given to us from God, not from the counsel of many. Well, I'm not driving you from getting the counsel of many, just getting the counsel of many who love God and from God Himself and His Word. Good night for now.